Well, if you're with us here for the first time at Calvary Chapel Orlando, want to let you know we're doing something a little different tonight. It's our Thanksgiving of Praise, as we have invited, coerced, all sorts of different things, different people from the body to come and share what they're thankful for. So we've got 14 of them tonight, and very much looking forward to it. So to start us off, it's going to be Bob Paul.
Somebody said to me one evening when I came in here, age before beauty. So I just want you to know, from here it's going to get a lot better. We're starting at the bottom. And you know what they say, confession is good for the soul. So I must say, when we first started coming to this church, Pastor Gibb asked me to give my testimony, and I told him no, because, I mean, that was a long time ago. But anyway, one day, this fellow sitting in the front seat right here, Chip, asked me, how come you haven't been up there to give your testimony? Well, I said, Pastor Gibb asked me, but I told him no. I noticed after that, brother, he sat a long way away from me. I thought he was expecting lightning to fall. But anyway, so I don't repeat something like that again. I want you to turn, if you've got a Bible, to 107, Psalm 107. And I'm just going to take a couple of verses here, but anyway, I'm not going to tell you to stand up when you got it. But if I hear the rustling of the pages diminish, then we'll know where we are. But anyway, you can keep up with me. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. Did you notice that next verse? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, when He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I can't read this thing by writing here, the Bible. But anyway, after singing that song a few minutes ago, bless the Lord, O my soul. Man, how can you sit in a seat and not give praise to God? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So I wasn't going to let that happen again. So He didn't coerce me. I volunteered. Because I'm going to tell you something. Conscience really works. But anyway, you know what? There's another verse in here that really illustrates my life. Everybody in this room is on the sea of life. And I'm just going to give you something right here, because it says, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunk man and are at their wit's end. Have you ever been there? I'll tell you, if you try to do it your way, without God, you will get there quick. But I'll guarantee you're going to get there. They'll get at your wit's end. In other words, there's no way out. But praise God. Do you know one thing? The redeemed of the Lord can say so. Do you know what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says? Has He given you a promise? There hath no temptation taken you such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wow. You know what? The Bible is just full of promises. And you know what? There's a lot of promise makers. There's very few promise keepers. Jesus keeps all of His promises. You know, do you ever talk to yourself? I really do. He gave me 5 minutes, so I guess it's half gone already. So anyway, I'm going to make this real short and sweet. But you know what? When you go home, you read Psalm 42. because David's talking to himself all through that thing. All through there. He says, and by the way, he says, he's speaking to his own soul. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. And he says, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And by the way, he does that three times through this psalm. Oh, before, you know what, I already forgot something. Did you notice in Psalm 107, so you still got it on your page there, right in front of you on your lap, does it say, oh, give thanks unto the Lord for what? What? How does that end up? For his mercy endureth forever. Have you ever, you know what? I've used up a whole lot of God's mercy. But do you know what? If you go to Psalm 136, you will really get a surprise. Do you know that? There's 26 verses in Psalm 136, and every verse ends with that. For his mercy endureth forever. So do you think, is he trying to get a point over to you? Huh? I'm a slow learner, but I finally caught on. I'll tell you. Now I want to just go to one more thing, and then I'm going to tell you what I'm really thankful for. Where was I? I didn't even come up here with... I lost my notes. I sort of feel like Tom Harper. I had 5 pages of notes, and the dog ate them. But anyway, listen to this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is Psalm 103, by the way. Why is he saying, O my soul? And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Boy, I got. There's another confession. I have never really got to the place I want to get with God. You know, even the Apostle Paul, I remember the first sermon you preached here. You told me those important things, the one thing. Remember Philippians 3:10? Paul says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Man, this guy has been walking with the Lord for years when he writes Philippians. He's sitting in prison. And he says, that I may know him. Oh, that's my prayer. I want to know him. What gives things value? What makes things precious? Do you know what the most precious thing in... You know how rare it is. That's what gives things a value. You ever watch that Pawn Stars? I mean, when you come in there with a certain shotgun or this or that, you know, whatever. Oh, that's worth so much of this, you know, certain things. But when there's only one of a kind in the whole world, how are you going to beat that? In Leviticus, I think it's chapter maybe 11 or 17, somewhere in there, God says, I have given you the blood on the altar for an atonement. And do you know something? Have you got any idea how priceless Jesus' blood is? We sang a song this morning. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Listen, that's the only thing that can give you a robe of righteousness and nothing else. That is it. And I'm, you know what? I think that's on display in heaven. Because I noticed when he rose, it was flesh and bone. And it says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But anyway, what am I thankful for? You know, this church, well, let me go back here. On June the 28th of 2013, my son went into the hospital. He had heart problems and all kind of other problems. He had a whole bunch of liquid he could not pass. But anyway, when he gets into the hospital, he had 6 strokes in the hospital. He has no insurance. He'd been laid off from where he'd worked, whatever. I'm condensing this. But one of the things that happened with the stroke, it left his vocal cord open. It will not shut. So ever since that day, he hasn't had a drink of water, anything to eat. He's fed by a tube. And you know what? You think about this, because I think of it often, and I never thought about it before. But, man, when you smell that coffee in the morning, oh, it makes you hungry. And I mean, all of the things you take for granted that I took for granted. And I'm going to tell you something. I want you all to do something for me. Do this. Take a deep breath. Do you think you're going to get another one? Do you take that for granted? Have you got anything to be thankful for Thanksgiving? You know what? There was a man in Daniel chapter 5. Daniel came to him and he said, you know what? You blasphemed the God of heaven and you have not given him the worship or the respect that he deserves. In whose hand he holds your breath. And by the way, tonight's the night. You know what? I love the Psalms. Do you know how the Psalms end? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Oh my God. Hallelujah. By the way, we sang that 2 or 3 times up here tonight. I'm going to get off here. I don't know. That's enough.
Praise the Lord. Well, the next person who's going to share is Caitlin Avila.
Hi, everybody. I am Caitlin Avila, and I'm a second grade teacher, so I told my husband I was just going to pretend that you're all 7 years old, and I should be okay. A little nervous. When Pastor Will asked me what I would share for, my mind started just spinning. Just so many things that I'm grateful for, and it really brought me to tears about all the different things I could think of. I've just lived a very, very blessed life. A life where, thankfully, I haven't had any type of physical pain or anything huge that's gone in my family that's just thrown me for a whirl, anything like that. And so I just am so grateful for the life I do have. And as I was thinking about it, I was thinking, of course, about my husband, and I'm so grateful for his unconditional love for me, something that my parents had prayed for me my whole life, and the Lord really blessed me with that. So I'm really grateful for James. I'm grateful for my family. They raised me in a strong Christian home, one that just taught me to fear the Lord and to count on His faithfulness. And then I married into a family that's more than I could ever have asked for. And the Avilas have just taken me in as one of their own daughters, and so I'm so grateful for that. I'm grateful for my job. I absolutely love teaching children. I love getting to share just their life with them, and I feel honored to have that. And we have so many things that we are privileged to have. But the more that I thought about it, the more that I realized that none of this is even possible without God's grace. And I was very humbled by that thought. I was humbled by the fact that He loved me so much before He created me. He loved me. And as I was spending some time in His Word yesterday, trying not to be fearful about this, I read in Colossians 1:9, it says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption for the forgiveness of our sins. And the more that I dwelt on that, the more I realized I am so blessed, but I am blessed because of the Lord's unconditional love for me. He has never stopped pursuing me. He has never given up on me, no matter how much I have failed, no matter how much I've asked for a second chance. His grace has always been there to meet me. And so I am grateful for all the things that I talked about at the beginning, but without the Lord's grace, I would have none of them. So I am very, very grateful for God's grace in my life.
Next is Mike Justice.
Will, in honor of you, I'm going to whack that. Get it over with. I'll probably whack it again accidentally. I've met many of you, and I think there's many that I have not met officially yet. And those of you that I've met, I struggle to remember names, so I try my best. And I'll probably be apologizing for like the next couple of years as I try to remember everybody. But I have so many things to be thankful for. I don't even know if I'm going to make it through this. Pretty emotional guy, but the last 20 plus years have been very interesting. Spent it with Pastor Will, and we started as a small fellowship, just four of us. And we learned a lot about faithfulness. I don't know if you recount how many times, Will, that you taught on faithfulness, and we talked about just the need to draw close to the Lord and depend and rely on him regardless of what we're going through. And those who are faithful with little will be given much. And the Lord chose to bring us to this awesome congregation, this awesome body of believers. And it's just been almost surreal getting to know so many of you and the faith that the Lord has wrought in your lives and the way that he's blessed my life. I apologize. But a little over 24 years ago, no, actually, I'm sorry, 26 or 27 years ago when I was about 13 years old, we actually had moved to Florida, my family, when I was about 12. And the reason we moved to Florida was to attend a church. I won't name the church, but we had an interesting experience. And I had a really kind of crazy experience, and it led to my parents eventually kind of not walking with the Lord. And for 20 years, it was kind of this, you know, Lord, help me to continue to remain close to you, but please bring my parents back to you. And the thing I'm most thankful for, in addition to my amazing wife, who was an answer to prayer when I was very young and thought nobody would ever love me, you think those things when you're a teenager sometimes. But and my amazing six kids is a few weeks ago, my dad came back to the Lord after 20 years. And I praise the Lord for that because only God can do something like that. And it's neat because every morning he and I get to spend time now in the Word. As I drive to work, we're on the phone and we're just praying together. And what's so cool is that the other thing I'm thankful for, I just want to kind of remind everybody about, you know, especially some of you youths, I think you probably go through these things sometimes where you think, you know, is God really real? and we talk about him and we read his word, and it seems to kind of touch here sometimes. And then I look at all the fantastical things that happen in the Bible, and I wonder, why doesn't a lot of that happen anymore? And I just wanted to read a couple scriptures and just share one other thing. Luke 16, verse 31, and Jesus, he said to those around me, he said, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." And what's interesting later on, of course, is Jesus is on the cross. Let me get to that. It's Matthew 27. As Jesus lifted up and he cried with a loud voice and yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. The graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And they came out of the graves after his resurrection, and they went into the holy city and appeared unto many. And what's interesting is we don't hear a lot afterward. We don't hear like all these recountings of all these dead relatives that came back and told people where they had been and what had happened to them. And you know, as my dad and I have been going through the scriptures together, it really struck me. I said, you know, the things that the Lord has been teaching the two of us and sharing with us daily, just the things that, you know, we'll, on a Sunday morning, the Lord will touch us in some way or tell us something. So we pray for my mom to come back to him. And then the next day, the devotion that we're going through is the same thing. And then the next day after that, somebody brings a word, and everything just speaks life as the Lord is revealing his truth to us. And, you realize God gave all these things to us as an example. He raised the dead as an example. And what's fascinating and what's so amazing about the Lord is that all of us were dead in trespasses and sins. And now all of us are alive. We're literally, our spirits have been resurrected. We've been born again. And that is such an amazing miracle. And when we think miracles don't happen like they used to, I would challenge you to think otherwise. I am so thankful for the miracle of my dad worshiping here week after week, and of the life that the Lord has given me, and the wife that the Lord has given me, and the way that he's worked in my life. I'm so thankful that he is alive and well, and I can assure you, God is working, and he is working in this fellowship something fierce, and he wants to do an amazing work among this body of believers. And I am so thankful for all of you and getting to know so many of you, and I look forward to what the Lord has in store. So thank you for being patient with me, my voice, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to share. That's just a little bit of what I'm thankful for.
Amen. Ryan Derrick.
Testing. All right. Well, I'm Ryan, as most of you already know. But most of you already know this, but in 2006, me and my family, were diagnosed with Lyme disease. So, and as a little boy who was akin to, you know, traveling was just driving up to Alabama, and that was about it. This was quite a big difference. Because now, after being diagnosed, we'd have to travel to Connecticut every 3 months or so. And so this would add a lot of hard times on me and my family, and financial issues. I mean, after many, many hard times, such as being introduced to many experimental drugs that would have no prevail, or losing our house due to financial issues, or just being Baker-acted by so much stress, you know, you'd be shown so much that a kid should not be shown. All of this, I've had a friend, just someone that I can not just call God and my Savior, but someone that I can call a friend. You know, when I was Baker-acted, that was the first time I ever felt truly alone. I felt like no one was on my side, and I felt completely and utterly alone. When I've been in multiple doctor's offices and just in so many different scenarios, on a plane, because me personally, I hate flying. I felt alone, but God's always been there for me. And I love how I can just go to God, not just formally, but just casually. And let me tell you, He's a great listener. So what I'm thankful for is not just, you know, someone that I can not just call God or Savior, but someone that I can call friend and father, that I can call upon and just say, listen, I'm going through something and I need your help, because, you know, going through stuff like this and being subjected to so many different things, it's definitely, you need someone there with you. So, I'm thankful for God.
This is great, isn't it? The Lord's so good. Casey Scott.
Well, I'm kind of jealous. I didn't just forget my notes. God told me not to write any. So, what I'm most thankful for that the Lord has been showing me is it's not about me. There's so many serving opportunities, and there's so many things He's called me to that I allowed fear in my life, and I told Him no, that I wouldn't do them. Fear of failure, fear of people, just fear of the unknown. And we've been learning about Gideon, and it was so cool how the Lord called him a mighty man of valor. And you would think that would be enough if God told you that to then move on and do what He said. But then He's like, but God, this and this, you know, I'm the lowest in my family. And that's kind of what I would do. God, but I'm the lowest. Who am I? Why am I? I'm not holy enough. I was asked recently to do something. I was like, Matthew, I'm not holy enough to do that. Like, why am I going to say yes? And the Lord's like, Casey, it's not about you. And I just want to encourage all of you, it's not about you and what you can do. It's all about God and how He can use you, because ultimately it's for His glory. So that's what I'm thankful for, that He can still use me, you know, despite myself. So.
Bill Barnes.
Sorry, I'm a jokester at heart. I don't have any in my preparation, so I had to start with the. My name is Bill Barnes. The Sunday night before Thanksgiving is always a special time for me at Calvary Chapel Orlando. You see, 14 years ago, Sunday, November 19th, 2000, was the first time I ever came to Calvary Chapel, Orlando. At the time, the church was meeting in the cafeteria at Robert E. Lee Middle School. I really had never gone to church before. I couldn't have named one of the four gospel books, and I certainly didn't know Jesus. And all that would change in the months following. The months preceding that first Sunday night had been the most difficult in my life, which is kind of curious. I was at the pinnacle of my legal career. I worked at one of the largest law firms, most prestigious law firms in Florida, maybe in the United States. And I was experiencing the financial and other rewards that a career like that can bring. A large part of my identity resided in my career as a corporate lawyer representing large, prestigious clients. It spoke greatly of who I was then. However, in late October of 2000, I lost the sight in my right eye due to detachment of my macula, and my retina surgeon told me it appeared very unlikely that my sight could be restored in that eye due to the severity of the detachment. It was doubtful if I would ever be able to see well enough, to read well enough, to work again as a lawyer. But the loss of my sight was by far not the most significant thing or problem that I was facing at that time. Far more significantly, our marriage could not have been more broken. I'm sure that to most people around us, it appeared that our situation was hopeless and divorce was imminent. It often appeared that way to me. Everyone I was close to and cared deeply for were hurting in the deepest way, and it appeared that their lives would be changed for the worse forever. Pain and suffering can be a very powerful motivator, and I was in great pain, so I was very motivated to find wisdom. My many years of higher education did not provide me with any such wisdom. Although our money provided us with the best secular counselors, their counsel provided little in terms of real solutions to our problems. Most of my friends with higher education had little or no wisdom to offer. Thankfully, four people in my life had the voice of wisdom: our housekeeper, my two older sisters, and my wife's brother. Although they did not have degrees that I possessed, or that many of my seemingly well-educated friends and counselors possessed, the wisdom they possessed was real, and it was apparent to me. What the four shared in common was a saving faith in Jesus Christ and an unwavering faith in the inspired Word of God, the Holy Bible, their source of wisdom. That brings me back to my first service at Calvary Chapel Orlando. One day, in the midst of my struggles during the fall of 2000, my wife's brother told me that he and I were going to a church where I would hear this articulate pastor explain the Bible in a clear, logical way, verse by verse. And knowing who I was, he thought I would like that. However, I really didn't want to hear what that book had to say about anything, and I told him so. But because I was in a desperate place, and I'd seen a changed life in him that he attributed to Jesus, I respected his counsel, and eventually I reluctantly decided to go with him. So, I showed up that first Sunday night looking like a pirate with my eye patch on, and it would be another 4 weeks or so until the bandages were removed and I would find out whether or not the surgery worked and whether I'd be able to see again. Getting through the music that night was really tough for me because all the people around me demonstrated heartfelt praise for this unseen and, for me, unknown God. That night, I was a biblical blank slate. I'm kind of thankful for that now. Brokenness was a concept with which I had zero familiarity, even though, unbeknownst to me, I was broken. After the music, various people began to tell their stories about why they were thankful. I heard about personal catastrophe after personal catastrophe from one person at another, and yet these people were thanking God. I remember thinking, how and why is God getting involved in Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is about the Macy's parade, making your own cranberry sauce, and the Lions playing the Bears. Moreover, these people had no reason to be thankful about anything. Their problems were real and extremely difficult and not necessarily solvable. Yet tears were running down their faces, and they appeared to be very thankful to this Lord person. I remember thinking, as bad as I seemed to have it, these people have it much worse, and they are thankful. That got my attention. You see, in my spiritual blindness, it did not occur to me that their biblical Christian worldview could be more accurate than my non-biblical, well-educated one. As I sat there, I reasoned, these people do not appear to be acting, so they've all lost it. Seriously. But I knew that our legal system, from the time of Sir Walter Raleigh, put witnesses on the stand so a jury can see them face to face and judge their credibility. I was now sitting as the jury, judging the credibility of these witnesses. Their testimony was powerful and authoritative, and their tears and sincerity let me know they believed what they were saying. I left church that night unsaved, but not unchanged. My brother-in-law brought me back to Calvary Chapel 2 weeks later, and I started going by myself after that. Less than 8 weeks later, just before midnight, on January 14, 2001, by the grace of God, I prayed on my knees to the Lord, asked for forgiveness, and yield my life to His direction. I know what it is. There's a song that we sing by Hillsong, "For I Was Dead in My Sin." I know what that is personally. Within a week, I got a new secretary at work. She was a pastor's wife from Watts in Los Angeles. For 1 year, she sat 10 feet away from me, answering my questions, offering me biblical guidance, and praying for me daily. I would say to her, "What is that verse? That faith comes by hearing," and she would finish my sentence with, "And hearing by the word of God," Romans 10:17. That's the life I had for a year. How God blessed me in that first year through her is a story in and of itself. It has now been 14 years. Since that day, I have heard 3,000 or 4,000 sermons. I have been taught through the Bible here at Calvary Chapel, Orlando, and I have read through the Bible multiple times. I have come to know the goodness of Jesus Christ and His love for me. I have come to see biblical truth for what it is, and I have come to know the Lord in a personal way. I have fascination with watching Him work, and daily in situations, and in people's lives, and in my own. I really enjoy discussing that book and what it has to say about everything. So, what am I thankful for? There's so many things. Time wouldn't permit me to mention them all. Like Tim Tebow, I'm thankful for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For I was dead in my sin, and my sin has been forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. I'm thankful to God for my brother-in-law, who boldly got me to Calvary Chapel for the first time. I'm thankful for the speakers that night in November 2000, and for the four people. I'm thankful to God for Calvary Chapel Orlando and all the people who serve it in various capacities. You need to know that you are active participants in a ministry that has provided an eternity-changing opportunity, not just for my family and me, but for many others. That may not be apparent to you, but think about that, because it is. That's what's happening. I am thankful to God for my wonderful children, and that for the last 14 years, I see them every day, and not just every other weekend. I'm thankful that I have a beautiful wife with a real Christian faith. I'm thankful for biblical truth. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God." It's always interesting for me to have been an adult who lived for a time on the wrong side of that truth, but to have later had the scales removed from my eyes. I'm thankful to God for a faith that's more precious than gold that perishes. And I'm most thankful for the love that our Lord has for me, His loving word of truth, and His grace and mercy on me, a life eternally transformed.
Dennis Thomas.
All right. Well, good evening, first of all, and thank you for the opportunity to share. Definitely, I'm very thankful for many things, and Probably don't have to, I know I don't have time to share everything that I'm thankful for, but I do want to key on a couple things that specifically this year that I've been thankful for. So during the men's breakfast on just this past Friday, Pastor Will shared with us that one of the characteristics of the perilous times of the last days is unthankfulness, that people are unthankful. And I definitely don't want to be an unthankful person. The Lord has blessed me tremendously, so I want to be a thankful person. So based on that, I really started to think about, you know, those things that I'm thankful for. So I want to share some things with you that have happened for me in 2014. I want to share some specific names with you, but I just want you to understand that, you know, all praise goes to the Lord, of course, not to these specific people, but the Lord definitely blessed me and used these people in my life to bless me. So I want to share with you some of the things that have happened with me for 2014. So first of all, I'm thankful for my lovely, wonderful, beautiful bride, Margaret. She's such a blessing to me. 2014 has been a great year for us. It's been a challenging year for us, but a great year for us. And one of the things that Margaret's helped me through this year is just through our discussions, our intense fellowship at times, and just some of the things. She's always been loving and truthful to me and always brought me back to see a better way. So I'm truly thankful to the Lord for my bride. And not only that, I'm thankful for the investment that she makes in the women in our lives. She would never call it discipleship, but she has a great way of encouraging the women around her and helping them to know the Lord better. So truly thankful for the Lord for her. I'm also thankful for my beautiful daughters. I'm thankful for Alyssa. She is an officer in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes at her school. So I appreciate her standing for the Lord. Thankful to the Lord for her, for just giving her the courage to stand for her, for the Lord in her school. I'm also, we prayed for her to be on the varsity soccer team this year, and the Lord blessed her. She's on the varsity soccer team. Now, you may notice that her arm is in a sling. We are still thankful that she's on the varsity soccer team, despite the sling that her arm is in this year. So, but definitely thankful to the Lord for what he's done in her life. Thankful for Lauren. Lauren's a blessing. She finished middle school this year. She got straight A's in middle school. We're thankful to the Lord for just blessing her and just giving her straight A's while she was in middle school. Now that she's transitioned to high school, you know, she's making that transition there. But the thing that I'm most thankful for Lauren for this year is that a couple weeks ago she asked us if she could get a notebook so she could take notes while she's at church listening to sermons. Definitely thankful about that. So one of the other things that we prayed about this year was that Calvary Chapel Orlando would have the right pastor. So we've been so blessed to be here. Everybody's been so welcoming to us as a family. So we really appreciate getting to know new brothers and sisters. And what's really awesome, and we're also thankful for this, is that we get to fellowship with people that we've been fellowshipping with for years. So it's been a truly blessing just being a part of this church. And the one thing I really like about what we do here at Calvary Chapel Orlando is that we are about doing what the Lord has asked us to do. So one of the things I really see about the work that we do here is this prayer. Not only do we have prayer meetings, we have our prayer room, but I'm so thankful for the brothers that stand around me and pray for me. I can't tell you how many I can name names. I'd be here all night naming names of men that have prayed for me and brothers that have prayed for me, and I really appreciate that so much. But not only have they prayed for me, but they also come back to me and ask me, you know, what did the Lord do? How did the Lord work that out in your life? So it's just a blessing to be part of a congregation and be a part of brothers and sisters, don't get me wrong, but just being a part of a congregation where people pray and they're about doing the work of the Lord. So I really appreciate being a part of that. Speaking of Calvary Chapel Orlando, so thankful for our pastor, for Pastor Will. And it's just awesome to see him step up and take on the new responsibilities that the Lord has given him, this new role. And it's awesome to have a pastor that is 100% committed to loving the Lord. And he's encouraged me over the years that way, but he also has encouraged me this year with taking on this new role and just really seeking the Lord. So, you know, I really appreciate the Lord and appreciate what the Lord's done and Pastor Will. And he's helped me be 100% committed to loving the Lord also and also stepping up when the Lord has asked me to do something new and different. And I'm also thankful for my employer. It's been another year with my same employer, so I'm so thankful for that. And I'm thankful for the Christian believers that I work with. We have an unofficial Christian organization at our workplace, and it's just been awesome to see how the Lord has worked through that. And the company continues to provide resources for us, even though we're an unofficial group. They've given us even more resources this past year in 2014, so I'm so thankful to see how the Lord has worked in that situation. But I'm also thankful for my co-workers that are not believers, that are the ones that don't love the Lord, that don't seek the Lord, the ones that challenge my faith, the ones that are asking me questions about what the Bible really says. They have definitely helped me go deeper in my relationship with the Lord, but they also helped me understand the Bible better. They've challenged me to dig deeper into the Bible, to know the Bible better. So I appreciate what the Lord's done through them also. And then finally, of course, I'm thankful to my Lord, my Savior, Jesus Christ. Just thank you to the Lord for providing a way of salvation that, you know, I have that way of salvation, be able to come to the Lord. So I'm so thankful for that. And I do want to share one verse with you that has been a big verse for me for this year. So it's in Job chapter 2, verse 3. You don't have to turn it now. I'll read it to you real quick. So it says, then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil, and still he holds fast to the his integrity, although you incite me against him to destroy him without cause." And this verse is a very scary verse to me, but also a very awesome verse to me. I don't have time to share all that went on in chapter 1 with Job, but feel free to go back and read that yourself, and you can catch up on what went on. But a lot happened in Job's life in that first chapter. But despite all that happened in that first chapter, the Lord still brought Job before Satan and said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And still gave the same description of Job that he gave in chapter 1. It's the exact same description. So for Job, nothing changed. But one of my learning points as I looked at this verse is that despite all the unfair pain that Job went through, Job was exactly where the Lord wanted him to be. So as I look at 2014, and it's been a great year in many ways, but it's also been some challenges and a lot of change in 2014. So the Lord has said to me that I'm exactly where he wants me to be. So despite the change, despite the unfairness, despite the difficulties that I may have faced in 2014, I still got places to go. The Lord still has work for me to do. I still need to press into the Lord. But I think I'm right where the Lord wants me to be. So appreciate the opportunity to share. Thank you.
Lauren, your notes are due every Wednesday. Johanna Wolf.
Hello. My name is Johanna, and I'm really nervous to be here. But because, like Casey, I wrote notes for hours. I tried to put something together, and the Lord just wouldn't let me. So I'm winging it, and I'm really nervous. But the thing that, when Will asked me what I was thankful for, you know, I went through all the kind of usual things. I'm thankful for salvation. I'm thankful for my husband, for my health, for freedom. And those are good things. Don't get me wrong. We should be thankful for those things. But where he has me right now is, I think, just in the midst of the process of sanctification, the process of becoming holy, of being changed into his image. And I guess basically what I want to say is I'm thankful for the thing that isn't necessarily comfortable or easy. It doesn't always make me happy, you know, like, but I know that it's good, and I know that the Lord is working. I know that he's working in me and through me, and I don't know if we always consider that, you know. When someone asks you what you're thankful for, do you ever say, like, "Oh, I'm thankful, you know, I went through this hard trial"? But sometimes when you come out of it, you have a different perspective, and you can see what the Lord's doing. And even when you can't see what he's doing or don't understand it all, there's opportunity to see his character in it. You get to see who he is, and you get to see you know, you see your own heart in it, how you respond to it. And when you see your own heart, you see your need. You see your need for the Lord. You see how desperate you are, how maybe selfish, how full of pride, whatever it is. And as you see your need for Him, you have to surrender. And it's just funny that I couldn't write notes tonight because I'm kind of a perfectionist. I wanted to come up and have this nice, neat, tidy thing to say to you all, but it's like another area. Like, here's a lesson to just prove out that just the surrendering that goes on. It's not comfortable for me to be up here to just kind of wing it, you know. And the Lord's just taking me deeper into trusting Him and to rely on Him to speak, to speak through me. So I'm just thankful for who He is. I'm thankful that He takes the time to take us through the process. And I think it is through suffering, and I think it is through pain and joy and goodness and everything. But there's something in that we draw near to the Lord in that. And, you know, Christ was perfected in suffering as well. And just to remember those things, that there's a relational closeness that we go through in the process of sanctification. So be encouraged. I don't know if that was encouraging at all, but be encouraged because He changes you through that time. So if you're in the middle of it, just know that He doesn't change. So that's what I'm thankful for.
Thank you. Kyle? Kyle Wolf's going to share next.
All right, so I may get a little bit emotional while I'm up here, just a little warning. A little backstory before I get into what I'm thankful for. So I grew up going to the church, not this church, but I grew up in central Pennsylvania, so it was a church up there. I attended Sunday school, youth groups, vacation Bible school in the summertime. I went to church camp, you know, whatever it was, I was involved in it. But sometime around my freshman year of high school, I trailed away from, you know, the straight and narrow and started walking my own life. And amongst my buddies from back home, like, we started getting into drinking beer, and that turned to liquor. And beer, liquor, and just other substances kind of followed me throughout college, and I'd say a decade or so after that. During that whole time, I'd say I still had a prayer life. There just wasn't any substance there. I didn't have that relationship with Jesus. I'm sure I'd been taught that at some point, but it just didn't stick with me, you know. And about 3 years ago, about right around this time of year, actually, some things were going on, and I just decided I had enough of it, and started the process of, like, doing a 180 in my life. Picked up the Bible for the first time in a very long time, and was just searching for answers. I had tried contacting my best friend from high school, who was a missionary over in Australia at the time, and just coming to him with answers and seeking guidance and help. And so that was November 2011. Like I said, that was really around the time when I started leaving that life of partying and drinking and all that stuff. So a few months after that, it was a Friday night, January 22nd of 2012. It started off as a standard Friday night for me, just me and a couple of my buddies. We were at a place called World of Beer down in Dr. Phillips, and we were imbibing a lot that night. And I started texting this gal I knew. I barely even knew her, I should say. We were going back and forth. It started off with, like, an inside joke. There was a song that played. I was like, hey, this song played, and it's like an a cappella band that's doing it. And through the course of the evening, it ended up getting into, like, a pretty heavy and deep conversation. And she ended up, you know, I ended up revealing to her that, you know, I'm kind of sick of this life. I'm not, like, living, but just the life of partying and stuff like that. So through some texts back and forth, she ended up sending me a picture that she took of some verses in her Bible, and it was Romans 13, 11 through 14, and it was the last two verses of that that was what really impacted me. So I'm just going to share those real quick. It says, "Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry or in drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. So drunkenness, revelry, lewdness, lust, like all that stuff, that's the life I was living. That's where I was at in life. And that just, you know, went straight through me. And looking back on that text message, that one text message, you know, I can see now that through, well, your teachings just a few months ago, that was like the Holy Spirit working through her, giving her the ability to speak directly into my life at that time. It was that word of wisdom, you know, and thank God for that. So what am I thankful for without all that backstory? I'm thankful that she had the willingness and desire to share the gospel with me that night. Thankful that she was obedient to do that, to take heed of the Holy Spirit's prompting at that time. She could have just easily said, you know, gone to bed that night because it was rather late at night. But she didn't. She, you know, stayed up and was communicating back and forth with me. She actually even offered, just like, hey, do you want to talk tonight? I'm like, I am not in a state to talk right now. I can't really do that. So maybe some other time. But we ended up Skyping a few nights after that. And through that hour or so, she ended up recommending that I listen to some teachings from Pastor Joe Foch in Calvary, Philly, as well as some teachings from her pastor, which is a Calvary Fellowship in Central Pennsylvania. And those, just all the teaching, this is the first time I remember ever hearing like the Bible taught verse by verse, and it just really spoke out to me. I'm thankful, really thankful, that now I have the honor and privilege of calling that gal my wife. I'm really thankful for the heart that she has, and it's one that really and truly seeks to know the Lord. Thankful that I get to share in her burdens and her struggles, which we saw a lot of that today. Though I get to share the joys of her life and our life together and just sharing what the Lord has for us. So, like a little exhortation or something for all of you guys, if you do feel like that prompting, if you're out talking to somebody and the Holy Spirit's like, hey, you know, reach out and talk to this person, like seriously, just do it. Because looking at like my life, if she hadn't done that night, I don't know where I'd be right now. Probably wouldn't be here. We probably wouldn't be together. I don't know where I'd be right now. I know I was looking at the time, but I don't know. It's impossible to say. So, thanks, babe. Thank you, God, for putting her in my life.
What an awesome night. We're not done yet, though. Evelyn Mora.
Good evening, everyone. This is hard for me, as a talker that I am, but speaking in front of a large crowd is really hard. As you know, I've been asked by Pastor Well to speak tonight, and what I'm thankful for. I did notes because, as my daughters always say, I have adult ADD and I could be all over the place. So I'm going to make sure that I keep in track and keep it short and to the point. I have so many things that I'm thankful for, but it will take a long time to, you know, go through them. So first thing first, I'm thankful first and foremost to have a God who loves me in spite of who I am. Knowing my past sins, present, future, He still lovingly died on the cross for me. He showed me mercy by not giving me what I deserve and grants me grace by giving me what I don't deserve. When I look back at my childhood through the young adult stages in my life, I remember the bitterness, anger, hate I felt and carried for so many years because of my abuse and dealt with at home. Through those years, I felt as God was punishing me and has left my side. I felt alone until a few years ago when God met me at a women's conference in Arizona. He used someone I had never met nor spoken to reach me with words that pierced my heart on things I was dealing with in my heart, personally and private. Nothing that anyone knew, but only God knew, and could have given her this personal and specific information about me. She spoke about God and unveiled him to me. I left that conference leaving behind the load of burdens I had brought with me, just like the woman who met Jesus and left her bucket at the well. Today I stand here thanking him for my new relationship with him, for restoring my heart, my mind, and my spirit. I knew at that moment that forever, that I will be lonely no more. And for that, I am forever thankful. Now, very quickly, just for a few more things that I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for an amazing, loving, compassionate husband who loves me, who loves the Lord above all, and who never gave up on me and prayed earnestly for my rekindling relationship with God, where today it has made our marriage strong and powerful. As the pastor mentioned this morning, there is a deep, intimate relationship bonding time when you can sit and share the word of God with your significant other. God has caused this in our marriage, and it has made it strong. I am also thankful for my children who walk in the ways of God, their spouse and boyfriend, also strong believers. I am thankful to God for blessing me with a faithful under-shepherd, Pastor Will, and for allowing the working of the Holy Spirit to move in wisdom in his life as he shepherds and teaches us the holy word of God. Last but not least, I'm thankful to God for the body of Christ at Calvary Chapel of Orlando, for receiving me and my family with open arms and making us feel so loved and welcome. For all these things, I give honor and glory and thanks to my God. Thank you.
Christian Bellamo.
So I was worshiping last Sunday, and Pastor Will turns around and says, "Hey, Christian, I need to talk to you afterwards." And I was like, "Oh, man, he's got me." So I was like, "I'm going to cut a deal with him." I said, "I don't know if any of you guys know what fantasy football is, but I'm in a league with Pastor Will." And I said, "Pastor Will, I'll give you my best quarterback." I said, "I'll give you Andrew Luck." And he's like, "Really?" And I'm like, I got him. And then he's like, "But you should still talk." So I was like, So I didn't trade him, but I'm still here today. I had someone tell me this week, about his brother. And he said, "Christian, I have a brother, and right now he's not with me anymore. And I had a bad relationship with him. And I wish I would have been able to talk to him more and hang out with him more and just show him respect and love." And he's like, "You have two brothers, and you need to cherish that." And that just really spoke to me, and I just thought I should share that. When I was younger, I was very mean to my younger brothers. We were always fighting and arguments, and they never held resentment against me. They always loved me. They always came to me. They always gave me hugs and kisses, and I was always mean to them. And it just really hurt me. And as the years went on, they were always nicer to me, and then God slowly worked on my heart, and I asked for forgiveness, and our relationship just became better and better. And I'm just so grateful that, sometimes I don't want to be an older brother because it's a lot of work, but I just love, my brothers, and
and the relationship I have with them now and how they minister to me and how I minister to them back. And that's number one. And number two is I'm just so happy for the parents that I have that I would do anything for me, that they make me lunch, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all organic foods. And, you know, took me fishing when I was a kid, so I don't know where I'd be without that. And lastly, I just I've been praying for a good pastor here. I know everyone has, and I'm just so grateful to have Pastor Will here. Just really kindness and gentleness, and the way he just brings the word is just so loving and kind. So that's what I'm thankful for. So.
Leah Thurber.
Okay, so I've kind of been waiting for 22 years for this day. I kind of always assumed that this was kind of like the rite of passage, because growing up in this church, I would always get so excited for the Thanksgiving praise and the Easter service because I got to hear from people in the church, and Pastor Gibb did ask me a couple times, but I had wanted to do it, which usually people don't want to, but I had excuses at the time, so I'm really thankful that I'm able to speak tonight. So first of all, I'm thankful for a church home. I'm thankful that I have an extended family with me every Sunday. And then I'm also thankful for my family being raised in a Christian home and coming to know the Lord at an early age. I'm thankful for the friends that have surrounded me, especially the last several years. I feel really close to the people here. And I don't want to discredit any of that, but I feel like God has been doing a lot in my life in the last year. So a lot of what I'm thankful for is what's happened in the last year. So, first of all, I got married a little over a year ago, so I'm really thankful for my husband. Like Kyle was saying, it's really nice to have someone that I can share burdens with, I can share my joys with, I can share, I'm sharing in life with my husband, and he's a great supporter of me. I'm also thankful for his leadership in our marriage. He's come a long way from the teenager that I met back at Chick-fil-A. So I'm thankful for him and the way that God is growing him. I'm also thankful for the tests of faith that I faced the last year. In some ways, like, I didn't have a whole lot of tests when I was living at home with my parents because they were providing everything for me. I had a really blessed life at home. So being out of my parents' home has been a test in itself because thankfully, I don't have to handle money very much because my husband takes care of that. But we've had to deal with, you know, paying bills and things like that. And there were times when we weren't sure if we were going to be able to pay our bills. And then God miraculously provided the finances that we needed for those things. And so I've seen God's provision in this year. And we've been basically God's growing us in just trusting in him and trusting that he's going to provide for us in ways because we don't know how he's going to do it. We just trust that it's going to happen. We've also, specifically this last summer, we were buying a house and everything kind of like God was like saying, this is the house that I'm going to provide for you because everything was working out. It was green lights the whole way. And then all of a sudden we were waiting for this loan. It took, I think it was a month or two for the loan to go through, and our apartment lease ended. So we ended up living with my mother-in-law, which was amazing because she didn't have to offer that to us, but we were able to stay with her for free for a little while. And though it wasn't an ideal situation, going from living on your own to living with parents again, that was a struggle. But it was an amazing blessing that we didn't have to worry about anything, and she was able to provide that for us. So it was a test of learning to be patient and trust that God will provide again. So I feel like God has been growing Eric and I together more than I've ever felt myself grow before. But then more specifically, in the last month, I feel like I've experienced the most testing of my faith. About a month ago, I found out that I had a miscarriage. We had been really excited about positive pregnancy test, and we've been hoping and praying for it. And then this was kind of the week that I was going to announce that I was pregnant, and then I found out a month ago that we had lost the baby. And just before we had found that out, a friend of mine had experienced a miscarriage as well. And my brother introduced a song to me that is based on Job's life, specifically Job 38. And it's written by Ghost Ship, and it's called Where Were You? And it basically starts out with Job asking God. It says, I do not understand this world. Everything is dying and broken. Why do I see nothing but suffering? And I kind of applied it at the time to my friend's life because I was like, oh my gosh, she's going through all this struggle right now. The song goes on to talk about how God's perspective and where were you when I created the earth? Where were you when I designed your planet? I designed you. I designed your life. It talks about how he provides for young lions and teaches them how to hunt their prey, about how he has, you know, the snow and hail stacked up in silos in heaven for times of war and strife. And he asks Job, is this whole world bending beneath your will? Can you do these things? And then Job kind of says, I spoke of things I didn't understand, things too wonderful to me for me. And though I didn't have a right to ask, God knelt and answered me. And that song particularly, it was really powerful when I first heard it, but it had so much more meaning after the miscarriage because I was experiencing that suffering kind of for the first time. I've experienced loss before with my grandma, and I've experienced loss with one of my my grandfathers, but having it to be something that I was so hopeful for happening and losing that, God's teaching me how to just trust that he's in control no matter what, and that even though I am experiencing loss, that I have to just trust that he has a plan, and that, like it says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So I know that God allows trials to come, that we may face them, but it's not because he wants to see us go through pain and suffering, but it's because he has a plan for us, and I know that he's going to work out his plan in our lives. So I'm thankful for the trials that I have faced, and I'm thankful for the trials that I'm going to continue to face, because I know that it's showing me more about God's love for my life, for me and my life, and it's showing me more about his plan for Eric and I and our future. So that's what I'm thankful for.
Daniel Padron.
Close to last, so like Bob was saying, age before beauty, so a lot of things I want to be say I'm thankful for. Braces. I'm thankful for mashed potatoes, because that's really all I can eat. It's pretty easy to cook, so it's not too bad, but first I want to say is July 18th is a date that I want to mention. It's when I actually got saved, and I really felt like my life had started. And then I went back the next day and got saved again. I loved it so much. No, but I remember though that I did come from a really, I guess as you can say, abusive home and really dysfunctional type of lifestyle. My friends were in the gangs, doing drugs, stuff like that. You know, you can't imagine the way I used to dress. I mean, I used to wear like, you know, the elephant pants, you know, and the long belt and the long shirt, and it just looked like I was overdressed, oversized or whatever. I had a bad tailor. But, you know, ever since that day, though, you know, I always really wanted to strive after God. You know, before that, I always felt like God was real. You know, I always felt like God was there. But when I really made the decision to follow him, you know, that's all I wanted to do was just live for him. You know, didn't matter what life was going to bring. I just wanted to, you know, do whatever he asked me to do. So I went through a program, it was called Teen Challenge, and through there, you know, I really got to know who God was. I would spend hours of, you know, just in the Bible and the Word and just praying. And I would always ask God, you know, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And, you know, I'm from Wisconsin, so this down here, this is not cold weather. But I don't know why, but all the thick blood is gone. I'm wearing this jacket here. I'm like the only cold person in here. I say everybody's fine. I don't know what happened. But anyway. I'm praying and asking God, you know, God, you know, what do you want me to do? And, you know, it was a friend of mine who you were like, you know, let's go down to Florida. And so we prayed, and, you know, the pastor was like, no, you know, you can't, you have only three options, and Florida was not the option. And it was up until about maybe a week before I finally was ready to go. I was going to go to Cape Girardeau, Missouri. And he comes up to me, he's like, Daniel, you know, he's a real rough pastor, probably the roughest pastor I've ever seen. And he's like, Daniel, where do you want to go? And I'm just like, well, yeah, I'm going to Cape Girardeau, Missouri. He told me that's where I'm going. And he's like, well, where do you really want to go? I said, okay, well, you know, I'll go to Florida. So then I come down here, and, you know, I'm still, like, not exactly sure what God's wanting to do. So I'm asking God, you know, what do you want me to do? And that's when he told me, he said, you know, if you go back, it was a verse, it was in Jeremiah 40, and it was about, you know, going back to Egypt. And basically, Milwaukee, well, that's where I'm from, that's the Egypt. You know, don't go back to Egypt. That's what he was saying. He was saying, stay here because I will plant you up. I'll plant you and I'll not uproot you. And so I was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to stay here. And then I got a really, really horrible job. It was a foundry off of Sanford Avenue. And if it was maybe 100 degrees outside, it was maybe 120 in the foundry. And here I am, I'm just like, you know, I'm a new, brand new Christian, and I'm pouring metal. I'm like, God, what is this? You know? Why? But, you know, I just knew that God, you know, there were so many lessons that I learned just by, you know, the you know, pouring the metal and stuff, how God shapes us and He molds us and He breaks us, you know, He will break us. And, you know, that's exactly what was going on. There were so many ideas that I had and so many things that I wanted to do. But God was, you know, He had different plans for me. I'm like, no, I'm going to go into the missions field and, you know, I'm going to save up money and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to die. I'm going to be a martyr and I'm going to preach the gospel. And I had high hopes. And so I'm like, you know, I'm not going to get married. I'm not going to have kids. And I would say this for years. And then thankfully, I hit my wife's car. And we got married. Anyway, there was a point. I can't remember. No, but you know, I'm really thankful that I'm here. And you know, that's the one thing that I can say, you know, coming where I came from and, you know, being what I used to be, and I can't even recognize the old me. I can't even describe who I really was, you know. It's just not a part of who I am anymore. And I can only thank God for that. You know, I can only thank God for changing me. And I'm nowhere near what I would like to be. You know, I think of Enoch and I think of, you know, David and I think of Abraham. And I think of all these guys who were so close to God. And it's like, man, I want that so much. You know, I want that passion and that desire to be so close to you, Lord. And, you know, when we were singing that song, 10,000 Praises, or 10,000 Reasons. And he says, for all your goodness, you know, I will keep on singing. And that, you know, I'm a singer, and I'm just like, that is exactly what I want. I want it for all your goodness, Lord. You know, so when I think when Pastor Will was asking me to, you know, say something I'm thankful for, it's just being here, being with you, being with you know, my family. You know, I'm thankful that Loretta can be a part of the, you know, women's ministry. You know, just seeing her being able to pour into troubled girls, you know, that's just, it blesses me. You know, I don't necessarily have to have something happen to me. It's just being here, being with you people, and just seeing how God is working and God is, you know, growing up, and, you know, the kids, and the kids are, you know, seem to be really just, you know, taking up to, you know, the Word of God, and they just seem to have a passion. I love the youth and how they're you know, impassioned with worship, and that blesses me. That's what makes me thankful, and you know, that's what I just, you know, that's what I want to keep seeing. So, you know, thank you for blessing me, and that's what I'm thankful for. So.
Last but not least, Ken Taylor.
There is a place in Scripture where Jesus talks about the temple of God being the house of prayer, and he says that it really isn't the house of prayer. Well, my thankfulness is the fact that this church this year has turned into the house of prayer more than I have never seen it. And how do I know that? I know that because I've had a big need for prayer for about 3 months. And I've had times when I went to leave this church and had a hard time getting out because of the number of people that have stopped to pray for me and to lay hands on. And the beginning of this year, I was actually talking to Tom Harper. I says, I'd like to see people in the congregation start laying hands on people. When they see a need, just stop and lay hands on. And it wasn't happening. And so I started doing it for a few people when I saw a need. And not knowing that before the year was over, the need I would have for the same thing. And that's what I'm really thankful for this year, is that God's Holy Spirit has moved on our congregation to make us a congregation that prays for people. We are a temple, at least we used to be a temple. We're a church now, and we're individuals. We're individuals that are the body of the church, and we are praying for each other, and we're willing to step out and pray at a moment's notice. And I think that needs to move on to our businesses when we know there's a need, to our enemies when there's a need, and to do it and step out. You know, it's one thing to say that you'll pray for somebody and you're going to do it later on, but people don't believe it. But they cannot deny it when you pray for them. And when you pray for the individuals that are not saved, you pray for the individuals that maybe are another religion. And I'm thankful that God is moving us in that direction. And that's the main thing I'm thankful for this year. And I probably am in the worst health I've ever been in. And I've never really had health problems before. But this year I've had heart problems. And I've known the need. And it's also harder to pray when you have a need. But you definitely need the body to pray for you. Thank you very much.
What a great way to end our Sunday as we go into Thanksgiving. Amen. What an awesome night. So thank you, everyone who shared from your heart, all of you guys and gals who just ministered to us tonight. We're so grateful for the words that you've shared with us. And so why don't we all stand together, and then we will go ahead and take the wall down. Let's pray.